Chapter 29, Into the Blinding White Light. Tomaton led the way up the staircase, never stopping for a break, hammer in hand as his clunking feet urged them on like the beat of a battle drum. No one spoke as they prepared for what waited atop the stairs. They had been travelers, hunters, adventurers, and searchers, and now they readied themselves to be warriors. White Claw had stirred something in them, something instinctual, primal, animal. Philosophers of the day might find it curious to see such anger born from a speech concerning love. Strange are the ways of the mind, and stranger is the fuel of emotion. White Claw's speech had awakened each of them to who they truly were. It served as that moment when we see within the mirror of our souls the reason we choose to live each day. And we do, though we may forget, choose to live each day. For Ben, that reason was truth. He anguished in a world full of muddiness and confusion. He yearned for life to be black and white, once and for all, right and wrong. No more masks, no more compromising, simplicity and purity. For Thomas, it was peace, not in the sense of a world without violence, but in the sense of personal serenity, stability, and tranquility. No man can be a pacifist in a world that no longer affords him the quiet moments of his own mind. For White Claw, it was his son, his student, and the legacy he would leave to him. He couldn't leave this world knowing he had allowed wrong to live on without fighting for what was right. He fought for change. He fought for the future. Riverpaw was driven by his desire to win the hearts of his kingdom. Every bone in his body ached to prove he could be great and show the kingdom he could protect them from danger. He would be a rock with which they could shelter themselves from any storm. He would be their champion. Evercloud wanted the world. Most men did. But most men wanted it for greed or power, reasons that were evil and base, reasons that were for the benefit of the individual and the detriment of all else. Not Evercloud. Evercloud wanted the world because he saw within it light and beauty, and he wanted all other creatures to see what he saw and feel what he felt. He wanted to show everyone that life and living were a gift and not a cruel tragedy. He knew he could be the one to show them the way. It was these things that moved them so resolutely onward. These things that were the reasons they fought for every single life-giving breath. It was their hearts and their souls. It was their Everflame. Now they could see the end of the passageway, an oval of white light that grew larger and larger with each step. It was a light at the end of the tunnel, as if they were making their way into the arms of salvation. The air chilled as they ascended the passageway, and now wind howled against the exit like breath over a bottle top. They could see the last stairs covered with snow, and as they finally left the passageway, maverick snowflakes hit their faces. Into the blinding white light, biting wind and snow, they stood at the mountain's peak. Tomaton trudged on, leading the party down an alley cut between two sheer rock walls. The path was easily 100 feet wide and oddly flat, as if some ancient architect had made it that way. Down the alley they walked, heads turned from the wind, doing all they could to shield themselves from the relentless elements. Suddenly, Tomaton stopped walking and turned to face them.
"Destroy the Guardians," he said.
Tomaton turned again, and they watched him move toward a gigantic statue, just now visible because of the snow. 30 feet tall, if not more, stood a statue of Tenturo the Griffin. It looked over them with a noble yet menacing stare. Its wings were folded against its body and its ears pointed back. The statue portrayed its subject in a moment of impending action. Evercloud noticed the toes of Tenturo's massive paws were as high as his waist. They all stood in awe, wondering if the real Tenturo were just as large. He must be close now, and if Tomaton's words had been any indication, so were the Guardians. The travelers felt invincible at the feet of the statue. They would soon be in the presence of an ancient being, fighting alongside a mythical power, bent on defeating the darkness. They readied to attack, as adrenaline warmed their bodies and spirits. Tomaton climbed one of the statue's paws and cocked his arm back, wielding the hammer as he had to uncover the passageway. He struck the statue, and the impact echoed over the mountains. A crack appeared upon the statue's leg, and Tomaton raised the hammer to deal another blow. Before anyone could protest, a sound to dominate all sounds came from the sky. The travelers looked up, knowing no ordinary beast could make the sound they had just heard. Such a cry could only come from a terrible, tortured creature. The cry came again and chilled their blood, locking their joints as if they were in a nightmare. Their eyes searched the sky, and finally they found them. The Guardians. Two black shapes glided through the blizzard above. They flew closer, and the party could see their gigantic black wings. Tomaton continued to pound the statue, sending cracks all along its surface, but they could no longer worry about Tomaton, for the Guardians had landed. Two horses, each as big as the statue of Tenturo, folded wings that looked like they belonged to a raven. The black beasts released their terrible cries, dragged their hooves in the snow, and dipped their heads, indicating they meant to charge. The Guardians shook their manes wildly, and the party could see their necks were not covered in hair, but covered with writhing serpents, like foul things that only the darkness can know. One of the creatures reared upon its hind legs and blew a stream of fire high into the air. "Retreat behind the statue!" White Claw yelled, and the party ran through the snow as the Guardians charged behind them. They ducked behind the statue as another stream of flame narrowly missed Ben. Thomas spun and unleashed an arrow at one of the beasts. It flew through the air and met the Guardian directly in the throat, but the arrow had no effect at all. "The juice!" Ben called through the howling wind. "I'll pour juice on the tip of your arrow!" Ben took the vial from his pocket and emptied some of its contents onto the tip of his brother's arrow. Thomas spun, ready to release it at the Guardians, but they were gone. Suddenly, the Guardians landed among them. One of them kicked Riverpaw and sent him flying into the rock wall. Thomas unleashed his arrow and it burrowed into the Guardian's chest. The great thing reeled and fell to the ground. The other Guardian took to the air in shock and disappeared. "It's not finished!" Ben yelled, as the wounded black beast writhed in the snow. He poured the rest of the vial onto one of his blades and ran at the Guardian. As he climbed atop the creature, giant serpents struck at Ben, but he swung his blades and cut them down before they reached their mark. He stood on the Guardian's head, and its black eyes stared at him. "Tell your maker the ancients shall return," Ben said, and plunged his blade into the creature's eye all the way to the hilt. The great beast shook, and Ben was thrown into the snow. They all watched as the Guardian's massive body convulsed and slowly disintegrated in the air. Evercloud ran to Riverpaw, who was getting back to his feet. The bear was all right, with the exception of minor cuts and bruises.
"Where did the other one go?"
he asked.
"Don't know," Evercloud said, "but I'm sure it won't be gone long."
They returned to the group, keeping their eyes to the sky. Tomaton continued to pound at the statue, which was now covered in so many cracks, it looked as if it would soon fall apart.
"What is Tomaton doing?" Thomas asked.
"It doesn't matter," White Claw said. "We don't have time to guess why he destroys the statue. That thing will be back soon. Thomas, your arrow worked beautifully. Evercloud, pour a pit of your juice from your vial over his arrow. We'll be ready for the creature when it returns and decides to land."
A cry came from the sky. The second Guardian reappeared and flew high above their heads, shrieking in anger. They waited and waited, but the Guardian would not land.
"What is it waiting for?" Ben asked.
"It fears the arrow," White Claw said. "We'll have to bait it."
"Bait it?" Thomas asked. "With what?"
White Claw answered stoically.
"With me." "No!" Riverpaw yelled. "What are you saying?" "Thomas," White Claw said, ignoring his son's protests, "I'm going to walk away from the protection of the group and the statue. When that thing comes for me, you release your arrow."
"It'll kill you,"
Riverpaw cried.
"You can't. Let me go instead."
White Claw walked to Riverpaw and pressed his forehead against his son's.
"Everything will be all right," the elder bear said. "I must do this."
White Claw backed away from a stunned Riverpaw and walked out into the snow alone. Instantly, The Guardian took the bait. The beast shrieked in the sky and dove at White Claw, blasting fire from its evil maw. White Claw looked into the sky and whispered, "Come for your death." The Guardian was a black streak, falling like a meteor from the sky. "Shoot it!" Riverpaw screamed at Thomas. "It's not close enough," Thomas yelled. "The arrow won't reach. I'll miss." "It'll kill him," Riverpaw cried. "Do it now! Release the arrow!" The Guardian was almost upon White Claw. The bear raised himself up on his hind legs to meet it and roared as loud as he ever had. "Come for your death!"
"No!"
Riverpaw screamed. Thomas released his arrow and it sped forward as the Guardian fell from the sky. All eyes followed the arrow's path. They were willing it to stay true. The black beast let out a harrowing shriek, but it was cut short suddenly as Thomas's arrow sunk deep into the Guardian's throat. Life left the foul creature just as it crashed down upon White Claw.
"Father!"
Riverpaw screamed as he ran to him. Evercloud poured the rest of the vial upon his golden claw and sprinted toward the beast as it lay on top of his uncle. He slashed at its throat as tears stung his eyes. Over and over he sent his blades through the creature's flesh. He raged in the agony of loss until the Guardian disappeared to join its twin in the nothingness. Riverpaw bent down and looked at his father.
"You're going to be all right," he said.
"You are."
"You,"
White Claw said, and licked his son's face,
"are going to be just fine."
And with that, White Claw's eye grew still, and he passed forever into the blinding white light.